world, we have the promise the light will shine. Amen? We are going to have to move very quickly this morning because we have a long way to go and a short time to get there. Sounds like an old cheesy movie, doesn't it? In an interesting way this morning, we are actually continuing what we began last week, which is a study of the book of Nehemiah. Last week I did an overview of Nehemiah and how God works through ordinary people. And so last week we were kind of introduced to Nehemiah, and we're going to begin a study verse by verse about how God uses ordinary people. But last week we had the opportunity to meet and to greet this man that was an ordinary guy that God used in an extraordinary way. And we talked about four characteristics that God looks for in people when he is able to be released to use them. First of all, there's a desire to be used. Second of all, there's a direction of how God wants to use that person. Second of all, this is a person who is willing to depend upon him. And third is determination. In other words, God uses people who refuse to quit. And under that last point of determination, I wrapped it up with a discussion about Pastor Wallace Bugwa in Nakuru, Kenya, who is the pastor of the church that we have partnered with, that is also a compassion distribution church there in Nakuru, Kenya. And the project there has 350 children that are a part of Compassion International and are sponsored individually. And we last, a couple of years ago, sent $60,000 in order to build more classrooms for them. I showed you the picture last week, and I doubt that we can get to it very quickly. I'd love for you to be able to see that again, but I showed it over and over last week, the finished product. $60,000, there it is, $60,000 built that building in Nakuru, Kenya. Can you believe that? That is a three-story building, and it is phenomenal what they were able to do with that. But that is only one of 14 projects, compassion projects, that are localized in local churches in the Nakuru, Kenya area. And so our partnership has gone beyond just a partnership with that one project, and we have really entered into a partnership in our hearts with every project that is in Nakuru, Kenya. In other words, 14 compassion projects in 14 different churches in the Nakuru area. And what I want to do this morning is I want to speak to you about Compassion International. I want to explain to you what Compassion is, the three major programs, and then we're going to have testimonies from people that went. I took 10 people over there, and so we're only going to have time for 5 in each service. I wish we could have all 10 of them in each service, because each one of them has an individual story to tell, has an individual impact that was made upon their lives, but because of our time frame, we've split it up, so we'll have 5 in this service, and then we'll have 5 more in the second service. And so if you would like to hear the 5 that you didn't get to hear, then you can. We'll make the CD of the second service available, and you'll be able to hear. I'll be saying the same thing, but you'll be able to hear those 5 different testimonies. And the first one I want to introduce to you this morning is Lisa Goble. Lisa, if you would come and just share with us from your heart, put that microphone there where people can hear you. And I've asked them to read their testimonies, if you will.
This is Derek's mic. There we go. Okay.
Is it on?
You don't have to get into it. They'll do it.
Okay. Jumbo, my name is Lisa Goble. My husband Brian and I sponsor 3 children through Compassion International. 2 of the children, Hawa, who's 10, and Alion, who's 7, live in Nakuru and attend the House of Prayer Church and Compassion Center. And the other one, Ramasi, who's 14, lives in Marilel, a 7-hour drive from Nakuru. We've been compassion sponsors for a few years and have also supported the Child Survival Program, a project that's very near and dear to my heart. When asked to speak today and share my thoughts on Nakuru, I looked back on my journal entries from that week, and one resounding theme had emerged over and over, the word joy. Every single journal entry had the word joy in it. I had expected to see despair, devastation, and extreme poverty, and I did. But I also saw joy, smiling faces, and light in people's eyes. There is a profound love that radiates from the people of Kenya. There is a friendliness and a warmth that is indescribable. I felt like I had known these people all my life. When I got to go on a home visit and meet Hawa's family, I was struck how poor they were, living in a small mud home with two rooms and dirt floors and a sheet for the door. Hawa has four sisters. Hawa said she saves all our letters and pictures and looks at them often. She said she wants to grow up and attend a university to become a journalist and write newspapers. When visiting with the family, the mother told me that her friend and next-door neighbor had led her to Christ. She was so excited to tell me, and we cried and hugged each other. But she also said that she couldn't tell anyone, or she would be slaughtered. She said her husband was a Muslim, and she said she and her girls prayed for my family every night, and they asked about Brian and the boys. Her husband came home before the visit was over and greeted me with a big hug. I hope and pray that this mother and her girls can lead this man to Christ one day. My second child, a lion, with his pants that were way too short and his shoes that were way too big, and that toothy grin that could light up the darkest day, has no father. He lives with his elderly mother and his 19-year-old sister. He was shy, but so loving and so sweet. Ramasi, the 14-year-old, was also shy, but very sweet and soft-spoken. Ramasi is from the Samburu tribe and gave me and Brian beautiful tribal necklaces that his mother had made. I'm wearing mine today, and so is Brian. He has seven brothers and two sisters, and they live in a straw hut. They are sheep herders. Ramasi is very poor and didn't attend school until we started sponsoring him 5 years ago. Although he is 14 years old, he's only in the fifth grade. He told me he wants to be a doctor someday. The most important thing I took away from this experience is that our joy does not come from material things or people or jobs or circumstances of life, but our joy truly does come from the Lord. These people of Nakuru are a living example of this. Though they live in mud huts with dirt floors and have no indoor plumbing or electricity, and though they walk for miles for clean drinking water and have to pay for their children to attend school, they are the most joyful, loving people I have ever met. They were inspiring to me. I came away from this experience with more appreciation and gratitude for the little things in life that we are so quick to take for granted. Upon returning home from Africa, I tell my husband and my kids and my friends how much I love them and how much they all mean to me. I pray more and I thank God for all the big things, but also all the little things that used to go unnoticed. There was a verse in our travel book from Compassion out of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, that sums up where our joy should come from. The people of Nakuru understand this, and I hope all of you will too. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on to the heights. Please consider sponsoring a child from Compassion International. It's only $38 a month, and that only breaks down to a little over a dollar a day. If you just dropped all your spare change from the day into a jar, by the end of the month, you would probably have at least $38. You have the opportunity to change not only a child's life, but also a family's. Asante sana, which means thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa. Though everybody on the trip cried, we had two designated criers on the trip. One of them was Lisa Goble, the other was Jamie Duncan, and Jamie will be giving her testimony in a moment. You see, what Lisa's trying to say is that the people in Nakuru, Kenya, who are committed to the Lord Jesus and working in local churches through Compassion International are being used in an extraordinary way. And by our partnership with them, we have the opportunity to also be used in an extraordinary way in the lives of children and of families. Literally, lives are literally being changed. The vision statement of Compassion International is stated this way: in response to the Great Commission of Jesus, Compassion International exists as an advocate for children to release them from their spiritual, economic, social, and physical poverty and enable them to become responsible and fulfilled Christian adults. And that is exactly what we are seeing happen with children who are part of Compassion International in the 28 countries where Compassion operates. Compassion operates in Kenya and only has been for about 25 years, but Kenya is the largest population of Compassion children of any of the Compassion national projects in all of the 28 nations. There are 96,000 children in Kenya that are in Compassion projects. Is that not incredible? And you may ask the question, why do we here in America focus on this mission opportunity? And it is simply because of the Great Commission. As Compassion International speaks about, they do what they do because of the Great Commission. We have partnered with them according to the Great Commission because Jesus commanded us in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so missions for an individual Christian and for a church of collective body of believers is woven into the very fabric of who we are and what we do. A Christian without mission is a very ineffective Christian. A church without mission, actually, I would say, is not really a church. Not just local missions, we do a great deal of that, but international missions in order to take the gospel around the world. And we have chosen as a church family, and this is each church's decision, we have chosen Compassion International as our primary mission arm to go around the world. We also support our denomination's missions. We do other missions. We have various individuals around the world that we support. But our primary emphasis of our accomplishing going to the ends of the earth is through Compassion International. 3 years ago, we entered into a partnership with a church in Nakuru called the House of Prayer. Bishop Wallace is the pastor there, and it is a compassion distribution project. You see, Compassion only plants their projects in churches, in local churches. So when you partner with Compassion, you also partner with a local church. 3 years ago, we partnered with that church specifically to do a couple of things. The first one is that we would individually sponsor every child that comes available in that project. They're full right now. They have over 350 children. But as children graduate out, then they will have room for more children to come in who will need sponsors. And then we have committed to sponsor every child that comes available into that Compassion project. Also, we have committed to help them in any physical way that we are capable and that they need. And that building of classrooms was something they desperately needed, and God allowed us the privilege and the ability to provide that. But this is all done in obedience to Jesus' command for us to go. We are called to go. How we go is an individual choice, because there are many, many, many ways that we can go to the ends of the earth carrying the gospel. There are many mission projects. There are many mission sending agencies, and all of them are fine. Most of them are fine. I wouldn't say all of them, but most of them are fine. If they're preaching the gospel, then they are commissioned by Jesus. But we, as a church, have focused in and said, we believe that we are called to partner with Compassion International and now to partner specifically in a particular district of Nakuru, Kenya, with these 14 projects to be able to actually physically see the lives that are changed and the impact that God is allowing us to have. And so it is all in obedience to Jesus Christ. And with that being said, I would like to invite Holly, if she would, to come for just a moment. We have to lower this because Holly is not real, real tall. And let Holly speak.
I'm a little taller than that. Hi, my name is Holly Franklin. My family and I sponsor three kids. One is in Nakuru, Kenya. Her name is Elsie, and she is absolutely precious in every way. I mean, look at her. Look at her. I could talk your ear off about her and her family, but I won't. She loves to take selfies, you know, self photographs. When I came home and looked at my camera, I counted up over 50 of just her. Here she is with her family. She lives with her grandparents because her mother abandoned her when she was 2 months old, and there has been no mention of her father. But what I want to share with you today is not about Elsie. It's heartbreaking at first, but hopefully it will leave you with a sense of hope when I'm finished. While visiting the villages in Nakuru, I was heartbroken to see this. This kid... There he is. This kid was 3, maybe 4, toting an infant on his back. And if you look closely, you'll see that the infant's face is smushed against the thick fleece blanket. Well, thankfully, our driver pulled over, readjusted the baby so that it could breathe, and said something instructional in Swahili and drove on. And at the time, I was thinking, oh my gosh, what a stupid mother! Who would strap an infant to a 3- and 4-year-old kid? Plus, there was no grown-ups in sight. And there were these 2 little babies. Anyway, I was affected. As the week went on, I came to understand that this is a really common practice. Unattended babies caring for babies. See, the moms are forced to go to work to provide food for their families. Many fathers are gone for good, and infants through 3- to 4-year-olds are left all day to fend for themselves. There's no adults around. If you can see the little girl in the blue, there might be another picture of her. I like to call her Cinderella. She looks like a princess to Jesus. But they're filthy. They have crusty noses. They're shoeless. They smell like pee, like strong urine, men's bathroom type strong urine. I'm sorry, that wasn't in my script. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to read from the script, I was told. Sorry. Honestly, guys, I don't know how they don't get lost because they're just wandering around. There's even cows that are running around the villages who just kind of charge at them, and they kind of toddle away, and they're scared, and they're just crying. Now, when my babies were that age, they ate anything they could find. But these little ones, they have plenty to choose from. There's trash, animal poop, dirty water, you name it. I was overwhelmed with emotion. But, you know, you hold it in because, you know, they have to live with it their whole lives. And surely I could make it till I got home. I made it to DFW Airport. Then I lost it. We all know that a child's early years are so important. Who was teaching these babies? Who's talking to them, bonding with them, protecting them, kissing their boo-boos? Lord, what can we do? It seems so hopeless. So, people have been asking me, how was your trip? Was it fun? Well, I'm not sure how to answer that. Some parts of it were amazing. Like, there were some real highs with Elsie, and there were some glimpses of hope that only Jesus can bring. But then there were some really dark lows. Real looks at devastation and poverty. But I'll say this. I will forever be a huge fan of compassion. And let me tell you why. Compassion has something called the Child Survival Program, or CSP. And it provides hope to the families in struggling communities like this. The CSP changes young families by providing supplemental food, health care, medical checkups, school supplies and toys for the kids, a Bible, spiritual instruction, literacy training for mothers, and this one's huge, guys, income generation skills, and counseling. I have no spit in my mouth. I can't talk. Anyway, I could go on. One CSP mom we met was taught how to make these really beautifully beaded purses. You can kind of see in the back, there's purses back there. Laura's hogging the spotlight with her lip gloss. Of course, we all supported this mom a whole lot. Thank you.
Brownie points for you.
But anyway, we all supported this mom a whole lot by shopping with her and buying some purses and jewelry. It was really helpful of us. Another CSP mom had a child with club feet, and Compassion had provided special shoes to correct his club feet. And these moms are taught how to care for their kids. Like if the mom is taught a farming skill, they'll take Junior on their back with them to work instead of leaving the infants at home in the villages unattended. So prior to this week, I had completely ignored the child survival program, and we had focused all of our attention on the child sponsorship. It only costs $20 a month to do child survival program. And I was convicted, what do I spend $20 a month on? It's like racetrack, gum, unhealthy snacks for the kids. What am I thinking? So instead of leaving Kenya in despair, God showed me a glimmer of hope. He is changing the nation one family at a time. Maybe I should say two families at a time, because He wants our family to be a part of it. Thank you.
By racetrack, you didn't mean the racetrack. You meant the service station racetrack where you buy sodas. Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. $20 at the racetrack. Okay. Now, Holly kind of stole a little bit of my thunder there, because I want us to talk to you for a moment, and we're going to break this up, about the three major programs that Compassion International does. This is the educational part, and the first one Holly's already mentioned is the Child Survival Project. It's referred to as CSP. Everything in Compassion is done with letters like that. So when you hear us say CSP, what we're talking about is a Child Survival Project, okay, where they take a mother who is pregnant, who is impoverished, and take her until the child turns four. At the age of four, then the child can go into the Child Development Project, which is the next one that we'll talk about in just a moment. But the Child Survival Project is really focused about the tragedy in developing nations, first of all, of infant mortality. In developing nations, so many children never live past the age of 1 year old or into two, or they already have diseases and that kind of thing, and so they die very early. The Child Survival Project is to help deal with that issue in the lives that they can actually touch. Not only that, but if a child does not die because of malnutrition, because of all of no prenatal care, any of that kind of thing, by the time the child comes to school age, if they are able to go to school, they are already so developmentally stunted that they are already so far behind, most of them are not able to succeed. And so Compassion International has what they call the Child Survival Project, where they go into the community and they identify the most at risk. All of them are at risk, but the most at risk. And they enlist that mother into the Child Survival Program while she is still carrying the child. And as Holly said a moment ago, they provide prenatal care for her, supplemental food, vaccinations for the child once the child is born, parent training for her. Perhaps she was not taught how by her parents how to train a child. She doesn't know how, so they teach her issues of sanitation, spiritual guidance, loving support of a local church, and also, as Holly mentioned, skills for earning money. Most of these women in the Child Survival Project have no education, very little education, have no skills, and they are typically alone. Their husbands are dead or gone, or they've just taken off. And so they teach them skills like the beading and the things like that that they can do, and they can go into the marketplace and they can do commerce in the marketplace and earn a little bit of extra money in order to be able to provide better nutrition for their children. The Child Survival Project is one of the greatest things that Compassion International does, because it helps the child to be healthy up until the point where they are able to go to school, and they are developmentally able then to compete on a school level. And not all projects, not all Compassion projects have child survival programs. Out of the 14 projects in the Kuru, There are only two of them that have CSPs. The church that we partnered with at House of Prayer, thank God, has a CSP. And there is one other project. So only two out of the 14 projects in Nakuru, Kenya actually have CSPs. That is why it is not a one-to-one sponsorship with a child, but you give $20 into this large fund, and they help support and fund all of the CSPs in the 28 nations where they are actually doing work. And so it is different than the one-to-one project, or sponsorship, but you just give that $20, and it goes to support those projects that have child survival programs. Do you understand the CSP? It takes a mother from the time she is pregnant and carries her through the age up to age four, and at that time the child moves out of the CSP into the next project that I will talk to you about after Jamie Duncan, our second crier, comes and shares with us her word.
I've done good today.
You have?
Hi. My name is Jamie Duncan, and my husband Brian and I and our family sponsor Elizabeth Jokey through Compassion International. I'm taller than her.
You're taller than her.
Yeah. She's a sweet 6-year-old girl that wants to be a pilot when she grows up. We have sponsored Elizabeth for 2.5 years now. Finally meeting her and her family was obviously a very special moment. It was also a very difficult moment. She lives in a 10x7 shack with dirt walls and a dirt floor. She has no bathroom nearby, no running water, and one twin-size bed for both her and her grandmother who raises her. Now, I expected most of this, so it wasn't a surprise, but knowing it and seeing it firsthand are worlds apart. I was surprised, however, by the fact that her uncle was there and involved. He actually took off work to meet me, which is a big deal because that's a whole day's wages. I was very encouraged by the fact that he is a Christian. I found this out when he asked me if I was saved. I'm pretty sure that if I had not been saved, he would have laid out the gospel right then and there in their 10x7 shack. It was truly a bright light in what I viewed as a devastating situation. When the home visit was over, Peter, which is her uncle, walked me to the van and repeatedly told me what a blessing my sponsorship and my presence there were for Elizabeth. I tried desperately to make him understand that I was the one that was blessed by them, because they really didn't seem to understand that at all, none of them. I'm not sure any of these children understand that they are worth so much more than what their sponsorship costs. I was most impacted by the innocence and faith of these children. Every moment I spent with them, Philippians 4:11 through 13, was absolutely ringing in my ears. For I have learned, in whatever situation I am, to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. These children live these verses in a way that we don't have any concept for. They were happy and grateful for any blessing they had, big or small. It was incredibly humbling. I myself struggle with depression, which brings a level of discontent at times, so this was especially convicting for me. I happened to ask one of the LDP students what his sponsor's letter's role played in this mentality. His answer was simple. He said they meant everything to me because no matter how hard things were, there was someone somewhere out there who cared for me and believed in me. Because of that, I wanted to do my best. I guess if I could tell you anything, it would be that if you do not sponsor a child, you're missing an opportunity, not only to change the life of a child, but also to have them bless your own. More than that, I would say if you do sponsor a child, please, please write them. They cling to these letters like a lifeline, reading them over and over again. It takes a few minutes for us, but it changes their entire world. I never imagined anything that I had to say to Elizabeth would mean so much to her. At times, I've even been lazy about writing as many letters as I could. I know firsthand now the impact I make when I am diligent. The ripples of my diligence in Christ's name have the power to change a country from the inside out. This is what compassion is committed to doing. I am so very thankful for the week I got to spend in Kenya, but I feel both blessed and burdened by the knowledge that it brought. Thank you.
Jamie in her testimony mentioned an LDP student, which is the third program that I'll speak to you about in a moment ago. And as I said, in compassion, you just learn to, rather than saying these long sentences, you just CSP, CDSP, LDP, and those that are inside understand that. And I want to make you all insiders today so you understand that. So the first program is the CSP. It's the Child Survival Project. The second program is what is called the Child Development Sponsorship Program. That's the CDSP. That is when a child turns 4 years old and they enter into the sponsorship program. That is what we talk about when we say sponsoring a child for $38 a month. It is from age four until they graduate from high school. It is $38 a month. As you can see, this is a real child. This is not just you send your 38 bucks and they send you some poor kid somewhere in the world and you think you're sponsoring that child. No, you are actually sponsoring that child. You write letters, you communicate, you can go and actually visit the child and visit their families, visit in their homes as we did while we were in Kenya. This is real one-to-one sponsorship when you take this child on. These kids all go to public school, and as I said to you a moment ago, public school is not provided. It has to be paid for, and they go to public school 5 days a week, and then they spend all day Saturday at the Compassion Project. They are only at the Compassion Project in the CDSP 1 day a week, and that is every single Saturday. So this is how committed they are to what Compassion is providing for the individual child and for the families, that not only does this child go to school in the public school 5 days a week, because all Compassion children are required to go to the public schools, and if they are not able, then Compassion provides some help, tuition for them to be able to go to public schools, and they come to the Compassion Project on Saturday, the Child Development Sponsorship Project. So that's 6 days a week that child is in classroom of some kind. They're all day long from until 4 o'clock on Saturday, and then on Sunday they are in a church. Now, what is provided by the Child Development Sponsorship Program? Your $38 a month, what does that provide? Well, first of all, it provides ongoing Christian training. They do not require that a family be Christian, or as one family, they were a Muslim family, but they do require that the parents understand and sign a statement knowing that their children are going into a Christian program, that they are going to hear the Christian gospel, and even Muslim families are willing to do this because of the tremendous benefit that has accrued to their child. Now, that gives Compassion the opportunity to, over the years, lead that child to Christ, and then oftentimes the parents, if they are of another faith, they come to Christ as well because they see the hands and feet of Jesus being demonstrated in love through the Compassion Project. And so the children, whether they are Christian or Muslim or whatever they are, when they are at the Compassion Project, they are clearly being taught that Jesus Christ is the one and the only hope for forgiveness and the only way to God the Father. They are given educational instruction. There is a supplemental educational instruction. They are taught life skills. They are taught social development. They are given taught about vocational programs. That's why you will see the Compassion children all looking to the future. They'll be talking about, one day I want to be a journalist, or I want to be a doctor, or I want to be a lawyer, or I want to be this, because they're taught that in the Compassion program from the time they're 4 years old, that the options are out there for you. You do well in school, and you follow Jesus, and you honor God, and the options are out there. Those children out there that are not part of Compassion, they never have even the foggiest idea of what they can do for the rest of their lives. They're just trying to survive today. But Compassion gives them the opportunity to look ahead. They said that, I think it was Chris that said this when we were meeting with the National Director of Compassion in Kenya. We got to spend an afternoon with him, and he talked about that in compassion, optimism is not just hope. Optimism is hope with a plan. And Compassion is not just giving these children optimism, it is giving them hope, and it has a plan by which that hope can be fulfilled. So they get life skills, social development, vocational programs. They also get medical checkups. For most children in these places, to have ever see a doctor in their entire life is just almost an impossibility. If they get sick, they either get well or they die. But in Compassion, through your $38 a month, It provides at least 2 medical checkups per year for that child. And if something is discovered that that child needs medically, then through Compassion, they have funds for that. They see that that medical need is met. We happened to be there on a Saturday when one of those 2 annual medical checkups was being done. They hired 2 doctors from a local hospital to come in, and a pharmacist and a nurse, and they spent all day long taking those 350 children that were there at the project on Saturday through a medical checkup, and they were given antibiotics when they needed it, and if other things were discovered, then Compassion enters in and helps them to get those other needs met. This is an unbelievable opportunity for these children, and one of the reasons that the families, even if they're not Christians, they never withdraw their children from the Compassion Project because they see the value that is being poured into their child. They are also fed 2 times on that Saturday when they are there, and for most of them, they are the most nutritious meals that they receive the entire week. So that is the CDSP. There is, first of all, the CSP, right? The Child Survival Program, when a mother is pregnant until the child turns 4 years old. And then they go into the CDSP, the Child Development Survival Program, and that is sponsorship program, and that is when you and I, with $38 a month, enter into a one-on-one sponsorship with a child that carries them all the way through high school. You get to correspond with them. If you have the opportunity to go to Kenya, you get to actually meet the child. It was one of the most powerful experiences that you can possibly have when you see the impact that your measly $38 a month is actually having, not only on a child, but on an entire family. It's phenomenal. I'm going to ask Michelle as she was named on the trip. Her actual name is Buttermore, but Michelle, if you would come and share.
She's single, but she's taking. I sold her in Kenya.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So
she is betrothed to some street vendor in Nakuru.
Moses,
his name. You know his name.
Got a name. We didn't get his picture, huh?
And Laura was bartering with this Moses about something else, and he said, "Well, how much for her?" And Laura said, "Well, 162 goats and 30 cows. How does that sound?" He says, "Well, I'll throw in a couple of elephants for that, wasn't it?"
It's 2 elephants.
2 elephants.
30 cows.
And
182 goats.
182?
Was that it, Mom?
162. I think it was 162 goats.
And then he's got to build the pens on site, and because we don't have the land, he therefore has to provide said land for the site.
So his chance of getting his bride are pretty nil to nothing, but it was a fun experience anyway.
Yep. That's Moses for you. So praise God.
Amen.
This little thing that we picked up in Kenya, somebody says praise God, everybody says amen. It's awesome. My name is Michelle Buttermore, not Buttermore, Goble. most of you probably don't know me, but I grew up in this church. I called this place home before we threw out the choir robes and hymnals, before we changed from Celebration Baptist to Celebration Fellowship or City on a Hill, before we declared ourselves Baptist, just not mad about it. It was this home church that raised me and this home church that introduced me to Compassion International and provided the gateway for me to change the world one child's life at a time. I sponsored Jane Nambura and Eugene Mandu in Nakuru, Kenya. That's my Janie bear. They're 14 and 7. Enough about me, though. That's not why I'm here today. I'm here to tell you about my time in Kenya and about how that trip rocked my world. As I looked back on our journey and thought of what I would tell you this morning, my recurring thoughts were these. My nothing is their everything. Though they have nothing, they'll joyfully share with you what they have. And wow, this is real. I'm in these pictures with these children and their families. I'm there. These people are real. I could tell so many stories, paint a picture so vivid that we'd be here for days. I'd like to give you a glimpse of what those thoughts mean with the story that I find myself recalling several times a day. On Thursday, October 3rd, 2013, I met my Eugene for the first time. The van drove down a bumpy dirt road and stopped in front of a cinder block wall with a blue gate in its middle, the gate that would lead me to my first sight of what poverty really is. There he stood, Eugene with his mother and 2 brothers. He's the little one in camo up there, by the way. He wants to be a soldier when he grows up. Waiting to welcome me into their world. Following their lead, I walked through the gate into their neighborhood, through the sheet of a door into their home. 8x10-ish, dirt floor, muddish walls, 1 room, 5 people, 1 bed. Darkness. Electricity is too expensive. 4 small stools upon which Joyce and I were welcome to sit. His mother moved back the hanging sheet and sat on their bed across from me, the boys on the floor next to her. My nothing is their everything. With my phone as a flashlight, I presented the gifts I brought for them. A bag of essentials for the family, blankets, cooking spoons, toothbrushes, etc. A food basket, sustenance, staples in their diet, fuel for 3 growing boys. A bag of goodies for the little ones, toys and sweets. A special bag for my Eugene, clothing, a drawing pad, colored pencils, a football, his best game. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you so much, said his mother. Eugene is a boy of few words, especially when he's excited. Thank you, welcome, and yes. Football, he said with a smile. All of the gifts the family would share, not only with each other, but also with their neighbors. After opening the gifts, I knew that these 3 little boys had no interest in sitting in the dark listening to this Mzungu, Swahili for white girl, talk to their mom. And so I suggested we go outside and play in the sunlight. I could ask my questions and share some fun with these boys at the same time. The jumping frog game was a big hit. It started out just the 3 of us. Soon, all of the neighboring children wanted in on the fun. Or maybe they were just curious about the Mzungu. I was blown away. We, the players, soon outnumbered the frogs. No screaming, no pushing, no fighting. No, hey, that's mine! They just shared. They were so joyful, so enthralled by this dollar store find, thankful to get to join us. When I gave my frog to the last child to join before we really outnumbered the frogs, Eugene watched me give it away, looked at his frog, looked at me, and handed me his frog. Later and for the rest of the visit, we kicked and tossed and rolled the football. Still no fighting, no whining, no pushing. They simply shared and were joyful to have a turn when the ball came their way. Though they have nothing, they'll joyfully share with you what they have. We can all learn a lot from the beautiful people of Kenya, especially their children. I know I did in the short time we spent there. I was simply amazed, absolutely blown away. Through Compassion, we've been given an amazing opportunity. With a mere $38 a month, we can change the world one child's life at a time. Please consider sponsoring a child through them. Love the least of these. Jesus calls us to it. And what's more, they'll change your life too. Ask me how this trip changed me? I've got a new soapbox, and I pray that I won't get down. Thank you.
We're very proud of Michelle that she is a pediatric intensive care nurse at Children's Medical Center in Dallas, Texas, and that we've had the opportunity to watch her grow up from the time she was a little girl. Now let me talk to you about the Leadership Development Program. There's the Child Survival Program, CSP. There's the Child Development Sponsorship Program, CDSP, through high school. And then there is the Leadership Development Program, which provides an opportunity for a small fraction of these children to actually earn a college or university degree. The requirements are very, very strict. Here, let me give you the requirements to enter into the leadership development program. The individual must demonstrate strong evidence of Christian character and God's leading on their life. Second, they must have contributed significantly to their secondary school, to their church, and to their compassion project, and to their community. This is all of their time coming up through secondary school that this must have been demonstrated. They must have demonstrated outstanding academic performance, as well as being involved in extracurricular activities. They must get a specific endorsement and recommendation from both their school and their church. They must contribute through secondary school to their school and to their community needs, and they must have graduated from the Child Development Sponsorship Program. And then after all of that, if they qualify for all that, they have to go through a rigorous interview process with Compassion International Leadership. And if they are accepted into the program, then they have the opportunity to earn a university or college degree in their own nation. And it costs $300 per month. Is all that it takes. Now, we have sponsored 2 leadership development students as a church, City on the Hill. You perhaps do not remember that. Both of them have graduated, Fetus and Simon. Fetus now, we got to actually spend an evening with Fetus and Simon. and received some gifts from them and got to hear their stories once again. And Fetus actually is a literature specialist and is working in a compassion project in Kenya. So now she has received, and now she is giving back. She is pouring back into the children of her nation. Simon was a finance manager and is working in a bank. I believe it's a bank that we have over here in America, but I can't remember the name of it, which doesn't really matter. But he now is working in a bank, is being very successful, and he along with several other employees in the bank, he has encouraged them. They have a child that they are sponsoring to be able to go to school, not through compassion, but to go to school because the child was so poor that they were not even able to go to school. So Simon and several of the employees there are sponsoring that Kenyan child to be able to get an education, and he is also actively involved in the compassion projects in his area. That is the leadership development program. Now, what the LDP is all about is about nation changing from the inside out, where you take the best of the best of the best of these young children who have been brought up through the process. They've demonstrated academic excellence. They have demonstrated Christian character. They have demonstrated a willingness to pour their life back into their nation. We, through sponsorship, provide them with the opportunity to get a degree in their own country. They don't come to America and become Americans. They don't come to America and get spoiled with our lifestyle. They go to university in their country. They stay in their country. They go into business as Christian people. They go into government. Some of them are involved in government now. And this is nation changing from the inside out. Is that incredible or what? And we get the opportunity to participate in that. I'm going to ask Chloe if she would to come and wrap the service up for us with her testimony. Chloe is the only teenager we took with us. Chloe is a sophomore at Lamar High School. She is 16 years old, and Chloe had the opportunity to go with us, and she was a magnet to these children. Of course, she's a very accomplished football player, which we call soccer, and that's all these kids do over there, and she was quite the magnet for these children. So I want you to hear from Chloe.
Hey, guys. All right, I'm going to see how much y'all have learned so far. Praise God.
Amen.
Good job. Hi, my name's Chloe Bass, and my family and I sponsor an amazing, beautiful little girl named Mary. I first met Mary during my visit to her home. Mary, a shy, quiet 6-year-old, walked up to me with her hands behind her back and in a little quiet voice said, "Hi." I smiled back and said, "Hi, how are you?" She replied, "I'm fine, thank you." And then she gently leaned into me and hugged me for a solid 5 seconds. In those 5 seconds, she took my heart and made it hers forever. While we had created a bond of sorts through the letters we had written each other, my time with Mary strengthened that bond into something I fully intend to last a lifetime. And that special connection that we created was something that I hadn't entirely prepared myself for. It is, however, one of the greatest blessings of my trip to Kenya. I've simply never loved a little girl more than I love Mary. I pray for her daily, and I'm counting the days before I get to see her again. Later, I got to spend nearly a full day with Mary, playing and getting to know one another. I learned so much about her. For example, she wants to become a police officer, and she loves to dance. Anytime there was music on, no matter what she was doing, she would stop and dance. I also learned that her best friend was a little girl named Elizabeth, who is sponsored by some of my family's closest friends, the Duncans. She was the little girl in the picture next to Elizabeth with the glasses on. It was amazing to see that among all the sponsored children in this and other projects, best friends were sponsored by best friends a world away. It was one of the countless ways God showed himself to me on this trip. As I got to know Mary better and saw the relationships between sponsors and children really develop, it hit home to me how special these sponsored relationships can be to both the sponsor and the child. It was one of the many ways I saw what an amazing organization Compassion International is and what incredible work they're doing. These children experience God's love in the midst of circumstances most of us can't even imagine. And through the letters and the gifts and the special trips like this one, they know that there are people out there that truly love them and are praying for them constantly. For those of you who already sponsor children or a child through Compassion, please, please, please write your child. You have no idea how much these letters mean to them and their family. They're a world away, and it's easy to let days turn into weeks, weeks and months, without writing. Please don't let that happen. How you love them through the letters you write and the gifts you give for special occasions is a reflection of God's love for them. They look forward to these letters. Many keep them in a special place in their homes, and they mean more than you can imagine. This became more evident through the students in the LDP program that James was talking about that we got to hear speak. They said that the letters from their sponsors were so important to them, that they were a source of encouragement on their worst days, and that they were sometimes the only proof they had that someone in the world cared about them and was praying for them. For those of you that don't yet sponsor someone, I can only say that it's the greatest investment of a little over a dollar a day that you will ever make. Not only will you be a true blessing to them, but they will be a blessing to you. You create such a strong bond with your sponsored child that is truly like no relationship you'll ever experience. I was able to see firsthand how huge an impact that small amount of money by our standards made in the life of a family in poverty. Each dollar you give is a dollar in the name of Jesus that can mean the difference between a life and death for a child. There just isn't a greater way to invest such a relatively small amount of money. This leads me to my final impression from the time that I was in Kenya and perhaps the greatest lesson I learned during my experience. In the midst of poverty, worse than most of us could imagine, in an area of the world where the concerns of the day are focused around getting enough clean water to drink, in a place where electricity is a luxury and the toilet is generally a hole in the ground. In the midst of all this, my most surprising discovery was joy. Seeing the children playing at the park with smiles ear to ear, hearing the laughter at playing simple games, hearing the joy of voices singing out to Jesus, it was amazing. I wish I could put that image into the minds of all of the people in our country, how happy these children were so little. I have friends who are miserable because their parents didn't buy them the newest iPhone. I know so many whose happiness is dependent upon having the newest, best thing until a newer, better thing comes out. I think the biggest lesson I learned was that when you have nothing in the whole world but Jesus, you realize he was all you really needed and the only source of lasting joy.
What an incredible experience for Chloe to experience at the age of 16. And as I said, she was one of our most joyful team members and was a great hit with all of the children. I would like to play for you a little audio of my little girl that Laura and I sponsor. Her name is Abigail. She's 7 years old, and she reads like a high schooler. She's obviously a very, very bright child. Perhaps will one day be an LDP student. But I told her about the church, the city on a hill, and the text that we took that from. And I asked her if she could read that text for me out of her Bible. And she did, and I audioed it. And then I asked her if she could memorize it, and within about 45 seconds, she had it memorized. So I'd like to just play little Abigail's little voice, turn it up real loud where they can hear it, and where Jesus talked about salt of the earth and the light of the world. I believe she's reading out of the NIV translation. This is little Abigail.
And while little brother's outside.
This is on my iPhone.
You are like salt for the whole human race. But if salt loses its saltiness, there is no way to make it salty again. It has become worthless, so it is thrown out and people trample on it. You are like light for the whole world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden.
That is great. Wonderful.
She read that unprepared, turned to it in the Bible, and she actually read it. Unbelievable. There are two projects in the Nukuru area, the Nukuru cluster, who have over 300 children, and they only have two classrooms each. Now, we just built classrooms for the House of Prayer project, and their classroom needs are met. And while I was there, I discovered that many of the other projects have very little. With 300 children, they have only two classrooms. One of them is in a rural area, the other one is in a town. I told you last week that I think that we need to do something about that. And we will be able to do this project without near the elaborate construction that we used with the other one. We learned a lot there. All they need is just center tile block with a roof on it and classrooms for the kids to meet, because this is where the ministry happens. And so this Christmas, what I would like for us to do is I would like for us to do our Christmas emphasis this year. We do something every year. We've been doing it for compassion for the last two or three years. We did water filters one year. We did mosquito nets another year. This year, I would like for us to buy blocks of compassion. Once we get the final numbers on what these construction projects would take to add 8 classrooms to these, each one of these 2, then I'm going to divide that by the number of blocks that will go into each one of those buildings. And with my little calculator, I think I can get that done of what the total construction costs. And so when you buy a block, you will be buying a percentage of the building of those 2 projects. The partnership facilitator there in Nakuru told me, he said, James, he said, what y'all have done here at House of Prayer is incredible. This building is going to be such a blessing, but I want you to understand that there are many projects in the area who do not have classrooms at all. And 2 of them only have 2 classrooms. And I said, we need to do something about that. And he said, if you can, you cannot even begin to imagine what a blessing it would be. And so Compassion International is doing a research project right now to find out for me exactly what those 2 construction projects would cost to get those 8 basic classrooms for those 2 projects. They're going to give that number to me. And this Christmas, we're going to encourage you to buy blocks of compassion, to buy center tile blocks of compassion. How about that? And as soon as I get those numbers, we'll give that to you. And then that construction will be overseen by Compassion International. Every single dime that we give will go to build those buildings for those projects, for the Compassion projects. God bless you. Thank you very much. I think they've said it all, haven't they? There's the CSP, Child Survival Project. If you want to give to that, you give $20 a month. There's the CDSP, the Child Development Sponsorship Program. That's the $38 a month. We have some children that are waiting. All of our children will be from the Nakuru area. So if you ever go with us to Nakuru, even if you're not in the same project, we will all be able to see the children because they will all be in the same area. Somebody took a couple of the packets that were out there, and we're so excited that you were pumped up about doing that, but you need to bring those back so that then we can register that. So if you picked up a couple of those packets out there of children to be sponsored, please get them to Laura, and then you'll be able to keep those children, but we want to be able to, we have to register that and get all that information there. All right, right after the service today, there is the second service. There is a parent-teacher luncheon. If you have a child in the children's ministry over there, then go over there for a quick luncheon to meet the children and to meet the parents. Next week, there is a pastor's meet and greet right after the second service over here. If you're not a part of City on the Hill and you would like to spend some time with me and eat lunch and we can talk and get to know one another, you need to put that on your care card, though. And if there's not enough people coming, we're going to cancel that puppy, okay? So we need to know. If you want to come and be a part of that just for a short meet and greet right after the second service, next week, and we'd love for you to do so. We're having the Harvest Festival on the 31st. We need volunteers, and we need workers, and we need candy, and all that kind of stuff. Whole lot of stuff going on. I think I'm forgetting something that was very important, but I'm just kind of a little overwhelmed with what we've just experienced. I hope this has blessed you. You know, I wanted you to hear from them. I wanted you to hear their heart. I wanted you to see the pictures, but there's nothing like being there, smelling the smells, eating the food, being with the children, hugging them, and seeing the impact to change your life of what a measly $38 a month can do in an entire family's life through one child. God bless you. This is our mission. This is our touch to the world through Compassion International. And I thank God that they have the integrity, financial integrity, that they have the system in place that we can partner with them and literally make life-changing significance in the lives of people. God bless you. Have a great day. See ya. Okay.